Tonight in our class, we give out these journals to go along with your spiritual life journal. This is sort of for our class and sort of covers sort of our lessons. We'll go in here. So our theme verse for this study, we're looking at the wise men this Christmas season. And our theme verse is Matthew 2:2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And then on the back, there's again, you're not turning this into me. This isn't something you're required to do. This is just a help on your Christian life and Christian journey. So some boxes there to help you through the week. And I pray that it would be a blessing to you. Tonight we'll be in Isaiah chapter 60 to begin with. And then we'll go to Matthew chapter 2. But we'll begin in Isaiah chapter 60. As we're looking at the wise men and the wonder of the Magi, and we've looked at this term and understand now the Magi were counselors, they were advisors to the royal court, to the kings of the east. Daniel would have been considered like a Magi in Nebuchadnezzar's court and Cyrus's court and all the royal courts through the Middle East. They would have had advisors, and these were wise men, learned men, studied men. Many of them studied the stars, looking for understanding, looking for help from the stars and trying to interpret what the movement of the solar system and the planets and the stars meant, and then giving advice to their king and court. So these Magi we saw last week, they followed not just a star. They followed, it says in Matthew 2:2, they followed his star, Jesus' star. So it was a specific star, and we studied in detail the star last week. Tonight we're looking at the wise men and their journey, but let's begin first in Isaiah 60. It begins in verse 1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and of Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." Some very interesting phrases in that. And then go to Matthew chapter 2. We'll come back to Isaiah later. Matthew chapter 2, looking at the first two verses. "And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen," notice that next pronoun, "his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wonder of the Magi as we begin this journey tonight with them. One of the most interesting journeys in the New Testament is this journey of the wise men from the east to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem. Like us, these wise men were not just on a physical journey, though. They also were on a spiritual journey. These wise men were Gentiles. These wise men were studying the stars, looking for truth. These wise men had some understanding of prophecy of the Old Testament. We looked last week at the prophecies of Balaam. We looked at the prophecies of Daniel. And we looked at the prophecies of the star. And so somehow these wise men have gathered information, and they know in the book of Daniel, we have a time schedule of when this star will appear at least the year. And so these wise men are studying the stars and they're studying the constellations, and they see his star, different from any other star in the solar system. And so these wise men are searching for truth. They're searching for answers. They're searching for the King of the Jews. And not just a physical king. They're looking for the spiritual king. So as we study this tonight, this journey, we learn from them, the wise men, an attitude that we must have if we want to draw close to Christ as well. They're desiring not just physically to get to the presence of Christ, they are also desiring to learn about Him and who He is. And as we strive and desire and prayfully yearn to get closer to Christ, there's an attitude that we must have. So as we saw last week, a star these wise men followed was Jesus' star, His star. God wanted these men to be witnesses of a miraculous arrival of the King of Kings. They wanted him, these men, to realize the truth. As they searched for truth, God gave them more truth. As they searched and longed for understanding, God gave them more understanding. God could have used any manner of means to get the wise men to Christ. But He chose a star, a very specific star, a very unique star, a miraculous star. God wants us too, as Christians, to allow our light to shine. He wants us to allow others to see Christ in us. And as we search for truth, He gives us more truth. As we search for understanding, He gives us more understanding. God chose us, believers, to shed light of the gospel on others. He could have used a star, He could have used the clouds, He could have used any manner of things. But He chose us. God has not revealed His Son to the wise men in the east. They had to make a journey. They found some understanding, they found some truth, but to come closer to Jesus, physically and spiritually, they had to make a journey. They had to take a journey of faith. We too must take a journey, growing in Christ, learning of Christ, studying the Scriptures and getting closer to Christ. And it takes a journey of faith. The wise men were not only, though, wise as the world sees it, they were wise in God's eyes, for God allowed them to have understanding. You know, it's interesting, we didn't talk about this last week, it was interesting, these men were not the only ones that saw this star. Undoubtedly, countless people saw this star, and it was a unique star, different from any other star that was shining in the night sky. Why were these the only ones that followed it? Why did they step out by faith? Why did they say, let's go, let's journey, let's follow this star? They had a desire. They had a desire to be where this star was going to lead. A journey they're going to take. And in this journey, we'll look at two aspects tonight, we'll look at two aspects next week. But there was four aspects of this journey of an attitude they displayed in this journey. And from this aspect and this attitude, we can learn some important principles for our life, our journey. They are simply the journey of sacrifice, a journey of faith, a journey of worship, and a journey of obedience. Tonight we'll look at just the first two and look at the journey of sacrifice. Traveling during this day was different than today. They could not just jump in a car or hop on a plane or set out and arrive later that day to their destination. Traveling was lengthy. Traveling was weary. Traveling was dangerous. We don't know exactly how they got to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Many speculate it was camels. That was the speediest and the most efficient means over the desert. But we don't actually know for sure. But we do know it wasn't a car, it wasn't a bus, and it wasn't an airplane or a train. It was some slower mode of transportation. And if they took camels, which were the most reliable, the best suited for this desert travel, it would have been a trip of at least 2 months, if not more. We don't know exactly where they came from. We know from the east. Could have been Saudi Arabia, could have been Iran, it could have been Iraq, it could have been Turkey, it could have been India. All those are east. It could have been the Mesopotamian Valley. We don't know for sure. So it was at least a journey of 2 months. Maybe even as much as 6 months. Now, during my days as a consultant, I traveled on a lot of airplanes. Too many. Multiple airlines every week. And we think of airplanes as exciting and a thrill, that takeoff and that landing, getting to a new destination. Well, if you fly an airplane every week or multiple flights every week, it's not glamorous anymore. It's not relaxing. On the contrary, it's very uncomfortable because the seats are too close together, like this one fella, he's having problems. The delays, the cancellations, the tempers, the short tempers of individuals, the challenge of trying to put an oversized suitcase into an oversized bin, an undersized bin. We've all seen it. But let's be honest for a minute. If we've taken a trip on a train or a plane, we've most likely complained about that travel, that trip. Oh, it was lengthy, it was long, it was delayed, they didn't have the right snack, they didn't have the most comfortable seats, and we've complained. Yet there was air conditioning, there was padded seats, there was attendants to come to your need when you push a button. These men on this journey of at least 2 months did not have air conditioning, were not in comfortable seats. If you've ever ridden on a camel, like at a zoo or something, they're not the most comfortable ride. During this journey of the wise men, they had to cross deserts. And the weather can be extremely varied between daytime and nighttime in a desert. You have the extreme heat of the day and you have the extreme cold at night. There would be windstorms, there would be sandstorms. Towns would be few and far between, much less water holes. It would be dangerous. Maps were incomplete. Roads were few, if non-existent. And all along the way, the threat of thieves and bandits was real. What were these individuals carrying on this journey? Great wealth. A thief or a bandit looks for these types of caravans. These are the prime targets. They're carrying something that we want. Their journey was uncomfortable, inconvenient, and time-consuming. Now, we all have a comfort zone. And within these nice little areas of our comfort zone, we're okay. But let something disturb our comfort zone, we're not okay anymore. Within our comfort zones, we don't want the world to rock it. With traveling a month or 2 months long journey by camel through the desert without a clear destination take you outside your comfort zone? It would me. These men, these wise men, sacrifice their own comfort for the King of Kings, who was a baby that was just born. Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to sacrifice our comfort for our Redeemer, for our Savior? Oh, don't mess with my comfort zone now. This little square I've got, don't let anything come in here to upset or rock my world. What if the Lord says, step out of your comfort zone and speak to an individual about a Christmas play coming up on Sunday night, and the gospel is going to be presented, and you need to invite this individual at the grocery store that you become friends with, or that coworker that you work with day in, day out. And you've talked about the Lord, you've talked about church. People will come to a children's Christmas program. Will we step out of our comfort zone and allow the Lord to use us? Yes, it's going to be a sacrifice of our comfort. Think for a moment about what God might be asking you to do that takes you out of your comfort zone. It causes you to sacrifice. It could be a half hour less in bed in the morning so that you can read God's Word and learn more about your King. It could be sacrificing a few meals a month, going out to eat, so that you can give sacrificially to the Lord's work. It could be to stay in a city or a country that you are not from, because God has planned for you to go there and serve. It could be to take you out of your comfort zone by approaching new people in our church. Our church is full of new people. Do you know everyone's name? Do you know what they have need of for prayer? Will you go out of your comfort zone to introduce yourself to new church attendees, new visitors that come to our church? Start up a conversation. Invite them out to eat. Invite them to your home. We are not called to a life of comfort. We are called to a life of sacrifice. I'm afraid most of us in America today don't know what sacrifice is. But these wise men, they sacrificed. It was a journey of sacrifice. But they also had a journey of faith. Imagine a friend asking them before they left the East, where are you going? Don't really know. How long are you going to be gone? Have no idea. How are you going to find this one that you keep talking about? Star's going to show us. These wise men didn't seem too wise to their peers. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how long you're going to be gone. You don't know how you're going to get there. You don't know how you're going to get back. You don't know how you're going to find the individual out of all the thousands of people that will be there. Don't sound too smart to me. You can hear them saying it. Have you ever had a family member or a friend or a coworker say, "What you're doing is foolish"? You give up all your Sunday, your day off, you give it up and go to church. Then you go to church on Wednesday nights and talk about this, reading this Bible and giving to the church. It's a journey of faith. People don't understand from the outside, but we do. We should be encouraging one another instead of bringing others down within the church. Encouraging one another in their journey of faith. The wise men did not have a lot of information in front of them. They didn't have a planned itinerary. But there is evidence in the Scripture and of the star that they knew they had a destination. All we have to do is follow this star. And it's not an ordinary star. It's His star. They believed. They had faith. We see evidence of this in their journey in verse 2 of Matthew 2, where it says, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." We saw it all the way back months and months ago, back in our homeland in the east. And we have followed it through the desert, through the heat, through the cold, through the storms, through the threat of danger and robbery. And we have come. Where is He? King Herod had no idea what they were talking about. The wise men believed that Jesus was the King of the Jews and that His star would lead them to Him. They were not the only ones, as I've said earlier, they were not the only ones to see the star. But I'm afraid most people ignored it. But they took action. Their belief, their faith led to action. They had faith that it was a sign from God, fulfilling prophecy of the birth of the Savior. They seemed to know some of the Scriptures and what the prophets had said about Him and had faith. This belief, this faith led to their action. They were willing to sacrifice comfort and security, to see Him, to worship Him. It says at the end of verse 2, they were come for one purpose: to worship Him. If they believed what they have heard about the prophecies of this star and the birth, the miraculous birth, they weren't coming to worship a baby. They weren't coming to worship a boy. They weren't even coming to worship a man. They were coming to worship the King of the Jews. And that was not Herod. They were willing to face the ridicule of their friends. They were willing to leave their homes, their places of comfort. It would seem they were also willing, we don't think about this often, but this journey was at least 2 months long, if not more. It would seem they were willing to forego the means of making money for the period of time they traveled to Bethlehem and the time they traveled home. Not only were they not going to be paid, they brought expensive gifts with them. Now again, the secular world does not understand why we give to the church, why we give to the Lord. The secular world, the peers of the wise men, did not understand, why are you taking these luxurious, pricey gifts to someone you don't know? How are you going to take care of your family? They had faith. And that faith caused them to step out into action. And Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us some things about faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we have the definition of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's apply that to the wise men. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What were they hoping for? Follow the star, arrive where the star would take them to see the King of the Jews and worship Him. The remainder of that verse says, the evidence of things not seen. Yes, they saw the star, but they hadn't seen Jesus. It's faith. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe if we put the wise men right there in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, they definitely, diligently sought Him. So they displayed faith. These verses show us why the wise men did what they did. They hadn't seen Jesus, but they were convinced of the truth of His birth. So they set off in faith, and their faith was rewarded. Matthew 2, if you're still there, look at verse 10. In Matthew 2, 10, it says, when they, the wise men, saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Well, skipped a few verses there, that's next week's lesson, but what we have seen is they saw the star in the east. They follow the star. Why did they go to Jerusalem? If we study the scriptures, there was a time period where the star was not visible to them. But then, in verse 10, they saw the star again, and it directed them to Jesus. God had not abandoned them in the middle of their journey. But while they were still in their own country, they set off following the star, and somewhere in the middle of their journey, as they probably got closer in towards Jerusalem, they couldn't see the star for a little while. So they go to Jerusalem and ask the king, surely he knows of this royal birth, where it's going to happen. But then in verse 10, God reveals to them the star again, and they're overjoyed to see this sign from God once again, and know they're almost there. How many times in our journey of faith have we been almost there and given up? Been almost there, nearly there. And God tests us a little bit to see if we're truly going to follow Him even when the skies are cloudy. We're walking through a valley. If we keep following, there's a way out of that valley. If we keep following Him, there's a way out of that cloudy day. And he's going to reveal himself even brighter and more abundant to us because we have journeyed by faith through the valley and through the cloudy day. And we are nearly there. Let's follow God's plan for our lives. Because it's a joyful thing. When we know we are where God wants us, we should be rejoicing with great joy. God guides us to where He wants us to go. But He may only show us one step at a time. Back in 1985, when I accepted Christ as my Savior on October 6th, if somebody had pulled back the curtain and let me see to December 2025 what I would be doing for the Lord, it would have scared me to death. I was a total introvert. Standing in front of people was not my thing. Talking in front of people was not my thing. But God has a sense of humor. And God has a plan. I'm going to take you on a journey. And it's going to start with a step. And another step. And another. And before long, you look back and you're like, wow, how did I get here? Faith, God's grace. Same for you. If you look back at your life, where you were when you got saved and where you are today, how'd you get there? One step at a time. These wise men did not step out from the east and one step later be in Bethlehem. They had a journey. A journey of sacrifice, a journey of faith. We can learn a lot from the journey of the Magi. When our King calls us, we must respond even though there are challenges. He is preparing us. And He will reward us. Throughout history, people of faith have been willing to respond to the challenges of unknown over and over again. I could have selected many, many individuals to look at tonight, but I chose William Carey. William Carey is called the father of modern missions. He surrendered to go to the mission field in India. He was a shoemaker. And he heard about the millions of people in India who had never heard the gospel. And it convicted him because he believed the Great Commission. And he believed the Great Commission was talking to him. Go ye, William, unto India and preach the gospel. So he volunteered. I'll go to India and share the gospel. When he announced to his church that he was going to go as a missionary to India, his church did not applaud him or encourage him. They scorned him. His preacher even said, "Young man, sit down. If God wants to convert the heathen in India, He can do it without your help." You know what William Carey did? He went anyway. And he did it one step at a time. And he paid his own way. He supported himself. For 7 years, he worked without one individual coming to Christ. But by the end of his life, my, we'll be behind him at the throne for quite a while. Because he saw hundreds of churches planted, thousands and thousands of converts. And if we looked at the country of India today, and the great work of Christianity among the Hindus today. And we traced it back. Its roots are in William Carey's missionary efforts. He was a man on a journey of sacrifice and of faith. So what about you and I? What journey of faith is God calling us to do right now? I'm not saying what journey is God asking you to go be a missionary or a preacher or a teacher or evangelist. No. All of us have a journey of faith every day. And prayerfully, it begins in His Word and with prayer. Perhaps God is calling you to give up a job that's not bringing you closer to the Lord, but taking you further away from Him. He says, oh, the salary is so nice. I was there. 21 years in the healthcare consulting business. Yeah, I had a nice salary. I was living large. But I was pulled away from church constantly. Pulled away from the things of the Lord constantly. Until it came to a point where I had to make a decision. And I sought counsel. Godly counsel. Pastor Ennis is one of those that I counseled with. And other great men. And said, I know God gave me this job. It was miraculous how God gave me this job 21 years ago. And they all said, well, if God gave it to you, He will show you when it's time to step away. And He did just that. He showed me through the Word of God when, why it was the right thing to do, because it was pulling me away from the things of God. But He showed me when it was to be done and how to do it. One step at a time. I don't regret it. One day. Not one day. What journey of faith are you on? Will you have faith to quit and trust Him with the results? Maybe you're have a problem with smoking cigarettes. Maybe you have a problem with alcohol. Will you trust Him to quit and to take that first step of faith? Oh yeah, it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. Perhaps you're single and you want to be married and you're dating a young man or a young woman that's not interested in the things of God. That's dangerous. Oh, I'm going to change them. No, they're going to change you. Oh, I'm going to get them into church. No, they're going to get you out of church. Will you have the faith to say, this is not the right person for me, and walk away? Each of us face different challenges that need our faith. But we all have the same Lord. And it's the same Lord that the wise men knelt down and worshiped after journeying by faith. And He will be faithful no matter what we face. So I ask you again, what journey of faith do you need to take the first step? It begins with one step. One step. Next week we'll look at that journey of worship and that journey of obedience. But as we ponder this week, a journey of sacrifice and a journey of faith, It begins first thing in the morning. Will you open this precious book and read it? Study it. Make it a part of your life. Will you talk to your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, I need strength today. I need faith today. I need courage today. I need you today. Where will your journey with God take you tomorrow? He'll go with you. You got to take a step. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for leading and directing our lives. So many scriptures talk about this in the Psalms and in the Proverbs. We can look at biblical examples of how they have stepped out by faith. And yes, it cost them something, sacrificed something. Help us to do the same. To be willing to sacrifice and to be willing to journey by faith. Bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.